This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The sanctions that we've put in place apply to everyone. We're equal opportunity with respect to our command, that is, thou shalt not create wealth for the Ayatollah and the people who are killing others around the world.
Mike Pompeo talking about, of course, Iran, and the situation there is always tense these days. That's an easy word to come up with because we know we've nailed that. But will we go full bore on Iran or stay steady the course with the rest of our allies, or at least most of them anyway, who are putting the economic squeeze on Tehran? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. And here we are once again, starting off talking about another country and what they are doing to us, or what could happen with us, or how we could be pulled into potentially some kind of a conflict, which would mean bodies going to war, etc. That hasn't happened. We are, though, at a crossroads with it. We know that, right, of course. So former special counsel Robert Mueller warned that Russia and many more countries were likely to target disinformation at U.S. voters in 2020, including Iran. So not that we don't have enough trouble with them already, but there is one leftover, one goodie from Mueller, zinging it in that, oh, yeah, like a country like Iran, they could be targeting the U.S. and our elections. So needless to say, murky waters when it comes to the situation in the Strait of Hormuz. It was just last week when the British tanker was taken over. And then, of course, we had a drone shot down. Iran denied that. And what happens next? We go through yet another weekend, and let's see if there's any other incidents. And that would just ratchet it up even more. Oh, by the way, some good news to lift your spirits. It's just official. But the House passed a 2-year deal to lift spending and suspend the debt ceiling. Shocker, huh? No. It's like they just rubber stamp it. And it is bipartisan, so that word gets thrown around every once in a while. And this is the time that it gets thrown around, I guess. And it's because they actually both agree. Period. That's it. There's been a lot made about the president and his taxes and his tax returns. A huge story today popped up in the Washington Post about the IRS turning over Nixon's tax returns the same day a congressional panel asked for them. Like, boom, here it is. Turn them over. We'd have to go back to the 70s for that. Of course, it was a little bit different talking to Nixon and grabbing his returns versus Trump's. But the war on trying to get those taxes has not stopped. The House Ways and Means Committee has requested 6 years of Trump's personal and business tax returns from 2013 to 2018. That includes several years before Trump became president. The chair, Richard Neal, recently sued the Trump administration in federal court to get the records after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin argued in a May letter that Neal's unprecedented request would be denied, or at least should be denied. What a feud. And there doesn't seem to be any give or take here on whether or not we'll ever see those tax records. And there is that push, though, like I said, the push. And I think this is a Democratic play, of course, because what could there possibly be in those records? But they better get them soon, because there'd be boxes and boxes and boxes, theoretically virtual boxes, of what these returns would be like. And pouring through them would be an arduous task, needless to say, if you think of all the enterprises that President Trump is involved in. this certainly wouldn't be any layup, a couple of boxes, and you just pedal through them and no big deal. It'd be quite the opposite. It would take a long time to really get to the grist of whatever they're trying to find. If you're in Paris and you're listening to me, and I actually do have some people that listen overseas, ooh, it is blistering. I happened to see the Tour de France for a couple of moments, and that's all they could talk about was the heat. 108 degrees. They are basking there. Basking. They're turning on every faucet that they can find, anything to just combat the sweltering heat. It may ease up with some rain coming in on the weekend, but it's pretty gnarly right now. In Amsterdam, same thing. You had crowds jumping into a central square fountain while you had workers spraying water on bridges over the famed canals to stop the metal structures from deforming in the heat. See, that's the kind of stuff you have to think about. It's not just, oh, poor people. People are really hot. No, it's what happens to other things like metal structures. So it is really a big deal, besides humans complaining, as to what else is going on when you have super, super high temperatures like that you're not expecting. Wow. Again, what a difference a couple of weeks can make. And then I turn to this poll as we kind of jump around here and give you a few little nuggets at the top and bring it back to politics. In Ohio, Vice President Joe Biden rules of all top Democratic presidential candidates, only Biden beats Donald Trump head-to-head. And this is a Quinnipiac University poll that was just done. In that race, Biden and Trump, 50% of the likely Ohio voters surveyed say they'd vote for Biden. 42 go to Trump. And then Trump is in a dead heat with five other leading Democratic contenders, U.S. Senator Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, all senators, of course, and the Indiana mayor as well falls into that category. I mean, the polls at this point, do they shed any light on anything? I guess you could say that, because somebody else could look at the polls and say, we need to pick it up here or pick it up there. I don't think the president is sweating it over a poll in Ohio and his numbers compared to Joe Biden's in a small, small sampling. It's just too small, I would say. I bought apples the other day at the store. Did not know that one apple carries 100 million bacteria, but I found out that's actually a good thing. You know, when they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away, a new study reveals that a typical 240-gram apple has about 100 million bacteria, and it's in the seeds and the skin. So it does sound odd to say that, but it's good kind of bacteria. So when you're passing by the apples and you're on your way to the Doritos, maybe pick up a few. I'd take that bet. There's a reason why they've said it for so, so long. Why not? I bet you I'll be back in the next segment, and I will, as we talk about some numbers and the mailbag. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Sweet. Let's go to the mailbag. And, boy, there's some interesting mail this time around. How about this one from Harry, who listens to us in Pennsylvania? He says, Kate, did you see the story about the 16 Marines that were actually arrested in this human smuggling deal? I was stunned to learn about it, although maybe I shouldn't have been stunned, but it was an interesting story, I have to say, and I wondered if you had any more deets on it, if you know what I mean. I did read that same story. I mean, there were stories all over the place about it. It happened during the Marines were arrested during what was a typical morning formation at Camp Pendleton for alleged involvement in a couple of different things. A lot of it had to do with human smuggling, and then there was drug-related things as well. According to what the press release from the U.S. Marine Corps said, that's what they do when they find, you know, when they're investigating this. Eight other Marines were questioned about their involvement with drugs. And the arrests were somehow related to something that happened this month where two Marines from Camp Pendleton were charged with transporting undocumented immigrants for financial gain. Yikes. So that's not good. And that's the U.S.-Mexico border that we're talking about. And so once they nailed them, they started to look into this. What happened was supposedly they were offered to pick someone up for $1,000 and drive them away from the border. And then that would be, you know, smuggling them out of the border. That's what they were questioned for. And that's where the money exchanged hands. And we'll see if it's any deeper than that. But 16 is a pretty big number. So maybe some of them aren't directly involved. Maybe they are. Like I said, there's a reason why you use the word alleged, because we have to see how that plays out. But it doesn't look good, let's put it that way. And it was kind of eye-popping. Speaking of eye-popping, this is eye-popping, too. This one is from Fred, and Fred said, Kate, I know that you travel a lot, and I think you were in New York a couple of times in June. Did you see that New York is suing American Airlines over employee sick leave? Man, just when you think these workers' programs have it down, they don't, these HR departments. Yeah, well, so what it is it's the Worker Protection Department and New York City's. And they said that American Airlines is violating the sick leave in that city because they retaliated against workers who use sick days or not letting them use the sick leave that they've accrued. So the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection announced that they had sued the airline, right, saying that they're not above the law. American Airlines, you're not above the law because people work in hubs. So thousands of people go through there every day, and they get in trouble for this whole sick thing because they're saying, no, they work, they're New Yorkers, or they are working in the New York airport, so they are allowed to call in sick. I think they win this one. I'm no lawyer, but, boy, they have a lot of ground to stand on here. And they're talking about getting, they're looking for $375,000 in restitution, which would cover 750 ground crew workers, including agents, fleet service, mechanical employees, and civil penalties, too. And then, of course, right away, American releases a statement saying that, oh, their employees enjoy generous sick leave and benefits, including those set by union contracts with terms that are generous, blah, 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 and they'll continue to do so. I think they're going to have to pay up that amount unless they find a way out of it. So they had to release that kind of a statement, but I don't think it washes in court. I don't think that happens. All right, on to the next one. This one is from Ralph, and what's on Ralph's mind is he's saying, Kate, I've listened to you talk about gators, and the meth gator story was wicked crazy, and then I wonder about Florida and iguanas. They have a big problem with iguanas in some areas, and they're saying that, you know, they were talking about killing iguanas on their property when they can, and now they're saying they told people to do that, and now they're saying not to do that, that it's too Wild West for that. So apparently there were a lot of people that were out and they were trying to shoot iguanas. So listen, make up your mind, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. First you want them to shoot them, and then you pull back and say, well, wait, this isn't the Wicked Wild West. You can't do that. You know, we've changed our mind. Because they realized that people were hitting seawalls and sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. And they were also exploding in that way. Now, there's professional trappers who can remove them from property, of course. And the thing with green iguanas, they can get up to 5 feet in length, and they're like 17 pounds. I've seen them, actually, in Florida. And, you know, the fact that you can kill them without a permit has caused a little bit of a problem. Of course, who has that dead-eye aim? And they're worried, though, about the green iguanas because they can threaten native species and endangered species of different things, including tree snails. And you scoff and say, who cares about the snails? But then you find out that they have some serious purpose. It's that whole looking at what the response is in nature when you pull an element out of it. And it's just, we just don't think of it, right? All right, let's move on to something completely different. Facebook. And we have Frank who says, Facebook. Oh, Facebook is like the evil empire. Mark Zuckerberg got away with everything until he didn't get away with everything. And so now they're going to look at a couple of, the Justice Department is actually going to look under the hood on Facebook for anti-competitive and anti-consumer actions. And what are the practices they're engaging in to reduce competition and stifle innovation or even harm consumers? You think they'll find any of that at Facebook or Twitter or Google or Amazon. They're going to look at social media. They're going to look at retail online services. That's what they're going to go through all of that. And they're preparing an antitrust investigation of Google's internal practices and their search rankings and all of that. And Facebook has a $5 billion fine from the Federal Trade Commission because of an investigation into their privacy practices. See, that's the thing. It is like the Wild West here, or it was years ago. Launch, everybody's excited. You're trying to be bigger, badder, better. And then all of a sudden, privacy issues come up and other antitrust issues come up that you're not even looking at, or maybe you are. And it's that idea of innocent until proven guilty, maybe. But it's not just Facebook. Like I said, it's Google. It's a couple of others, too, that they're pointing to, even Amazon, to look at this whole monopoly situation and what's happening there. So I say that's a good thing if they're going to look at it. Look closer. Do it. Absolutely. Of course. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. All right. Let's see if we can get another one in. This one is from Jake. Jake is a frequent emailer to the show. Hi, Katie. Kate, I miss hearing your voice when I'm on the road, so I had a chance to send an email, and this is that email. I think one of the coolest things that I've seen, I mean, there's so much I could bounce on with the Mueller thing, etc., but instead I'm going to go, hi. The opening ceremony for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo is 1 year away. And what I love is that the medals are all part of 80,000 tons of mobile phones and small electronic devices around Japan. That's what they're using for the gold, silver, and bronze medal awards for the athletes at the game. And you think about 5,000 medals are given out between really two games, the Olympics and the Paralympics. So that's like 6 million mobile phones. I love that they got old phones and parts and they recycled them and figured out how to do that. And the medals are made out of that, found in donated electronics and phones. Ugh, now that's good recycling we can talk about. They had about 158 million pounds of donated electronics. And then, of course, they reduce it. 71 pots of gold, 7,700 pots of silver, 4,800 pounds, rather, not pots, pounds. Pots would be a different story. So 71 pounds of gold, 7,700 pounds of silver, 4,800 pounds of bronze. I love it, love it, love it. I love that they're fusing them all together. Bravo. Thank you for that email. You're right. It was uplifting. Hang with us, more to come on the flip side. I'll meet you there.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
At least five people have been shot at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Santa Clara Valley Medical Center spokeswoman Joy Alexu said the hospital has received a number of victims from the shooting and expects more. The Gilroy Police Department on their Twitter account issued a statement saying the hearts of the Gilroy PD and the entire community go out to the victims of today's shooting. The scene is still active. Ryan Wallace was a vendor at the festival.
Three girls like running towards me, and they were crying, and they were just saying like, there's shootings, and like they were just crying a lot. And then I just saw like a whole swarm of people just running, and my brother was yelling my name out, and we just started running. Like it was scary hearing those gunshots and people running.
There have been at least 11 other injuries reported, and we'll give you more information as it becomes available to us right here at USA Radio Network.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog. And no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program. And you got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Right now we have Julie K. Perrott with us, and she's written a book called The Cost of Truth, and the book is about this fascinating journey of this woman named Donna Gordon, who began really as a Catholic nun, and I'm going to let her tell the story of what happened from being a Catholic nun to then where her life moved and what that was like. So first of all, Julie, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So tell us about Donna Gordon. And you said off the air to me she's such an inspiration. Tell us about her story. It sounds ordinary in one sense. Okay, she's a Catholic nun, but boy, it definitely takes a different turn, and she lives really a rather extraordinary life in a different way, right?
Oh, absolutely, Kate. Not only did she begin life as a nun, it goes further back than that. She was born into a very strict Catholic family, one who did mass on a regular basis, and the family encouraged the five children to live their life as good Catholics. So she was born and bred into a very religious environment where, to her, the only way forward for her was to be a nun, was to be able to be a Catholic to the heart. So that was how she started life, and she She worked for, she was a nun in a convent in Brisbane for nearly 3 years. She was a novice. And she decided that her teaching, which is where the convent she went into was actually a teaching convent, was not her line. She wanted to do a help. She wanted to heal people. So she had to leave the convent and she had to take up nursing. She still retained her strong Catholic faith to the point where she met Michael, an ex-priest who had just left a seminary to take up a private life. And they married. And they had 5 children. Now, during the period of time that she was married, she had what we would call moments where she knew something wasn't right, but she could never put a finger on it. She could never actually explain or understand what she wasn't happy about until she met a woman. And it was a completely honest and fair process. It wasn't that she went looking for anyone. She was at a school soccer match, and during that time she made friends with the mother of another child. They started a friendship, a very general friendship, and the friendship blossomed into something that she had no idea. And so she began to have feelings for the woman that she couldn't understand, feelings that she couldn't stop. And she calls it an unstoppable force. She had no control. But of course she had 5 young children, the youngest one being barely 12 months, and she had a loving husband, and she was in a good family situation, which was a strong practicing Catholic, her husband an ex-priest. She had everything that she wanted in life, but she wasn't happy. And she could, she said, have turned her back, and she could have faced that she couldn't live, she could live a lie. But she said, my faith said, I can't live a lie, I have to be truthful. And that truth cost her her marriage, it cost her at the time the loss of her children, and it cost her the loss of her friendship. Her mother never understood it, right to the day her mother died. But Donna could not live a lie. And as she looks back now at her life and says, there is no way that I can achieve happiness. There is no way that I can be true to myself and to my God if I am not honest. And so she was honest. So she broke her husband's heart. She had to move out of the family home until she could work through her situation. And so her story is one of heartbreak, but it's one of joy at the end. She has now got 5 beautiful adult children who has a wonderful relationship with her. She has an ex-husband who she retains a beautiful friendship with, and she has a loving partner. And her journey has been one of understanding her faith, coming to grips with her faith was at odds with how she felt, and dealing with that. And most of us at some stage in our lives have an issue. Most of us come face to face with a dilemma. Most of us at some stage are challenged. Some of us find that very hard. Donna took the step to face it and deal with it. And that is an exceptional woman. She's an inspiration to me, and she's an inspiration to many here in Queensland, Australia, who know her, who have followed her journey, and now her friends are back, and her friends feel somewhat, I suppose sheepish is a word maybe, that they gave up on her in the early days, and they allowed her to be isolated, they allowed her to travel the journey alone, which she did. She was very much alone during those years. But she's come through it, and I suppose if there's a lesson to be learned, it's don't be afraid to take the hard step. Don't be afraid to face your challenges. Face them, deal with them, and you can be surprised at what the emotion of your heart and your truth, the strength it will give you on your journey. And a remarkable woman who today is a proud gay lady, who is also a proud mother, is a proud grandmother and a proud friend and an inspiration to many.
Well, What was it like for you writing this story? What did you get out of knowing this woman, getting to go deeper with her and learning about what it was like for her? I would imagine you must have been changed after pulling this together.
Oh, look, I was. There's many times in my life that I've been faced with challenges and I've taken a route around them. And I felt quite humbled, to be quite truthful, to be in her company where she shared her pain at walking out on five children she loved dearly and they were the love of her life because of her desire to be honest to herself. And she said, I want to bring up my children to be honest and true citizens. How can I do that if I'm not honest and true to myself? That taught me an amazing lesson, that it's all right to have the rhetoric, it's all right to say the words, it's living it that's the hard. And she lived it, and I learned so much from her. I was humbled. We had to stop many times in the writing. She was very emotional. She relived pain that she had shut away in a closed room and said, nope, I don't want to go there anymore. All of a sudden, that door was open and she was faced with it again. Very emotional, but at the same time, very cathartic. She looks back on it now and says, it's the best thing I could do. My children have all read the book. They will keep it for their grandchildren. They now understand why I did what I did, because she said, I couldn't explain that to my children. It's very hard as a parent, to be honest, to your children with your pain. It's very hard to sit there and say, this is why I did it. A child often thinks their parent is everything in life and that they are faultless. So, yes, I learned, I was humbled, I was proud to be there, and I learned a lot about dealing with the tough stuff in life.
We're speaking with Julie K. Perrott, and the name of the book is The Cost of Truth. I love the name of the book. It's perfect for Donna Gordon's story. We just have a couple of minutes left, and you've kind of said this in some of what you've talked about, but when people get this book and people listening to this want to go and get this on Amazon or they want to get it at a bookstore and they pick it up, what do you hope that they get from reading this story?
Well, it's written in honest fashion, so it's warts and all. So I haven't just made her someone that she's not. So what you are actually reading is really this person's tough journey that you can apply to yourself. There's many people out there who will get more out of this. They mightn't be in this same situation, but they'll understand about taking the hard road. They'll understand about living the truth, about being honest and about being fair to themselves. And it's written honestly. Sometimes people write to make someone sound a bit better than what they are. This is who she is. It is absolutely a warts and all book.
So it has to be rewarding for you that her children have read it, that they have a great relationship with her, that she, like you said, warts and all, and that she obviously approved and liked it. Did that feel good once you were through with the process?
Look, a relief, I think. I was very concerned. I was very concerned what her children might think. One of them was... Perhaps took a little while. The rest of them embraced it, absolutely. One just took a little bit longer than the others to actually understand her mum. But I felt an amazing relief before I felt anything else. I wanted her children to understand, because there is nothing more than being honest and truthful, and we all know that that isn't always the case these days. So it was such an amazing journey of one woman who did it by herself, no help, no counselling, no one, no friend to stand by her side, no mother supporting her. She did it alone, and that's tough stuff. So, yes, I felt an amazing relief that, in the end, her children understand what an amazing inspirational mother they have.
Oh, perfect place to end this. Pick up this book, Cost of Truth, Julie K. Perrott. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The Cohibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Cohibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Cohibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
On today's Author Corner, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited to introduce you to Larry Burke. I know I say I'm so excited, but I have such a love for science fiction. I'm a huge fan. And he has written a novel that's really, really cool. And I love the title, A Remarkable Curse. Larry, so first of all, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
I'm glad to be here.
So what was it that drove you to write A Remarkable Curse? I mean, first of all, I'm going to re-rack this. Are you a huge sci-fi fan?
I am.
And is it just kind of surreal for you to have written about sci-fi, to come up with a story, to come up with these characters and flesh them out?
No, I've always wanted to write a book. And a few years back, I decided I'm going to do it, and I wrote Alien Within. And from that, this new series spawned off of that first book.
And so Alien Within, you write that, and then you realize, okay, I can do this. And then you go from there, and you think, I can do a series. How did the series idea come about? Because you had more to say?
Yes, well, the first book was, you know, out of vanity. I just wanted to do it. And like you said, I got through it, and I realized, you know, I like this. And this new series started off is written different than the first book. The first book was written in first person. It was more in depth. It was dark. But out of that, the young protagonist, Lisa, spawned the whole idea to create a series.
And the series that you did, too, by the way, anyone can read it, but it targets certainly the young adult audience. And did you find that, and this is, of course, the young adult audience is big for sci-fi, so did it all just kind of come together like, oh, I'm going to write it this way? How did you decide that was your target audience?
Actually, the target audience, you know, was really young and old. Anybody that likes science, anybody that likes science fiction, anybody that likes fiction. But the younger audience came into play when I realized I don't write with profanity. I don't write with vulgarity. And I thought to myself, this is wonderful. It's for younger people because they are so washed with bad influence nowadays. And I thought this would be a great experience for young people to get into science fiction that's not, you know, all blood and guts.
I like that. We're speaking with Larry Burke, and we're talking about A Remarkable Curse. We're talking about the series and, of course, the target audience and what it's turned into. For you, what's the hardest part about writing?
Outside distractions. You know, if I could just sit in a room, you know, drink some coffee and write, I could probably write all day.
But what a great feeling that you know you have this gift and you could write all day if you had that time. How about the people around you? Because you're a working guy and there's people that obviously, I'm sure you've told that you've written these books and maybe they've read them. What's been their reaction to that?
A few of them that have given books to me, they just love them. They're exciting. They're uplifting, you know, because in all three of this series, it promotes hope, faith, and, you know, and it has a positive message. Even though there's a bad thing happening, it all ends up real good.
I like that. It all ends up real good. Did you, because you were a fan like I am of sci-fi, was there somebody you read or something you watched through the years that you really, really liked, and because I think that would have influenced you?
Well, I'm sure we've all been influenced throughout the many years, you know. But I think the Science Channel and the History Channel really got me into it.
I like that. Science and the History Channel. I watch both of those, too. We're probably watching the same things.
I love the Science Channel.
Yeah, me too.
The History Channel.
Yep, and it's kind of like a marriage between the two of them, I think. So you talked about Lisa. Is Lisa your favorite character? Who's your favorite character?
I really don't have a favorite. I have a handful of favorites. Lisa, of course, started it as one of my favorites. And, I mean, I really enjoyed rereading Remarkable Curse because of the emotional attachment the characters have. But her daughter, who becomes the savior of the world, her name is Hope. And she's introduced in the, at the end of the book when she's born, but she's the main character of the next book, which is Beyond Providence. I think she's probably ultimately my favorite. She's the strongest, has the most responsibility, and she just pulls it all together.
Okay, so Hope is the strongest. I like that. And we're talking about A Remarkable Cure and the series and sci-fi and influences and writing these books. What do you hope people take away from, whether they're young adults or older, what do you hope people take away from reading your books?
Well, you can look at any part of the world, and it's just chaos. And I think that young people really need to understand that it doesn't have to be chaos, that you can find hope even in a desperate, in desperate means, you can find some faith and hope and things will turn out okay.
Yeah. If people want to get your books, I'm thinking Amazon.com, but is there someplace else they can go as well?
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Yeah,
Books A Million, where books are sold, yeah. Anywhere that books are sold, so I like that. Larry, as you look down the path, and, you know, all of us think about, well, I could also do this, I could write that, and because you're prolific with this, you just want to keep on writing, right? Even though you have, as you said, distractions because you're working and you have other things that are pulling at you, do you see yourself just keep on writing other books, coming up with other ideas?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've got a mystery in mind. Another fiction, it's not a science fiction, just another fiction in mind. You know, so I have a couple other ideas that I'm working on.
And so for people listening, too, there's other people that sometimes have ideas, you know, wiggling around in the back of their head. Was that the best day ever when you decided, I'm going to write Alien Within? I'm going to just write. I just have this idea. Instead of putting it off, I'm going to do it. Was there something about finally taking that leap?
I'm not so sure about that. When I decided to write it, it's mostly because it's in a time in my life where, you know, I had lost my father. He had passed away, and I thought, damn, it's a shame. I should have done this while he was still around. So I basically did it, you know, in reference to or in respect for him.
Oh, wow. That's an even deeper meaning, because you realize, okay, I'm going to do this. And how interesting is that? And we're speaking with Larry Burke, and the name of the book is A Remarkable Curse, actually a series. And, boy, what fun it's been talking to you about watching the Science and History Channel and how you come up with these characters. And we'll tell everyone again, they can pick up the books at Amazon.com, of course, or wherever books are sold. Larry, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and I hope your listeners go on and buy my book.
There you go. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Kate.
Wow, so sci-fi really is so interesting to me, and it's really since I've been older that I've gotten into it. And when I say older, when I've gotten out of college and I started to pay attention more and started to watch some shows, kind of like Larry, the same thing. I got into the History Channel and then Science, and it's just fascinating to me. So to be able to write science fiction, I think there's a real art to it. And the fact that he started with the one book and then went into the series, came up with the characters. And what I love about what he said is that, you know, young people need some positive messages. It's not vulgar. It doesn't have any of that in it. There's hope and faith and a positive message. I say right on to Larry for writing that, those kinds of books. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. We'll see you again soon.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.